Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Schooner Show, a four-part episode podcast where four college students explain all the ins and outs of what college life is like at the University of Oklahoma. You can follow The Schooner Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Please make sure to leave a like and give us a good review. All right, let's get to The Schooner Show. Check out Simple Modern. Simple Modern exists to give generously. As a leading drinkware and consumer goods company, Simple Modern gives at least 10% of annual profits to communities around the world. The Oklahoma-owned company offers premium quality products and unique styles for adults and kids at generous prices. Go check out their quality products at simplemodern.com. Simple Modern, good everywhere. And attention, college or high school seniors. Graduation is approaching quickly and senior pictures are a must. Brittany Stover Photography offers high-class senior photos for any season. Check out her work on Instagram at Brittany Stover Photography and book a session today.
All right, guys, it's football season in Oklahoma, and Blush Boutique has all your game day fashion needs to keep you stylish and ready for Oklahoma game days. Grab your game day outfit today from Blush Boutique and be prepared for your apparel needs.
All right, and so we recently ran a poll on our Instagram asking all of you who your favorite professor was at the University of Oklahoma. And the results are in. Drum roll, please. I don't know what. Anyways, Brent Norwood takes the top spot. He's clearly a campus favorite, and we're working on something special. Maybe a feature episode featuring him right here on the show, maybe?
We'll see. Maybe sooner than you guys think.
We'll see, so stay tuned for that, okay? All right. But today we're diving into a topic that every college student can relate to, professors. Love them or not, they shape a huge part of your college experience. Whether it's picking the right ones or showing up prepared to class, we're going to talk about how to make the most out of the time with them, and trust me, it can make or break your semester.
All right, so moving forward with that, who was your favorite business professor throughout your time at OU? London, you want to start?
Okay, so in OU's College of Business, I really liked my legal studies professor. Her name is Michelle Grunstead. I don't know if any of y'all have had her.
Taking her right now.
Really? Oh.
I'll let you know how I feel about it in a couple months.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, anyways.
I have written Nim Razook, and I actually really like him. So.
For legal studies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, legal studies is a really hard class, as you can tell. It sounds really hard. It's about law, business law, and stuff like that. But Michelle Grunstead's really good at just, like, I guess, teaching us the material well. I don't know how you're doing, but...
I'm online, it's different.
Oh, online, okay. Well, I had her in person, and I could say I really liked the class. Like, she was really, like, really fun and, like, really engaging, to be honest, and just, like... It really helped me, like, learn better, I guess. But, yeah, Michelle Grunstead's really awesome. I like Brent Norwood, too. I know that was a big favorite, but he was a really big, really good professor for, like, our college experience, at least.
Yeah. I think, well, you go for it.
You go first?
You got it.
Okay. I would go with Norwood, Brent Norwood. He's the best. He finds a way to make some boring, subjects really entertaining and engaging. Mm-hmm. But besides Norwood, an underrated one is Professor Stein.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's a marketing professor. I had him twice last year for consumer behavior and sales and revenue generation. And he's just the best. You can tell he really cares about what he's teaching. And he's just a really nice guy. And he finds a way, like Norwood, to make some more boring subjects pretty entertaining. And he's really good at teaching the material.
For sure.
Yeah, I've got him too, and he's cool. He's always, I think he's very personal, kind of like leaning back to Norwin. Honestly, a lot of professors in the business school and everywhere in general here at OU, but he's really cool. I've enjoyed having him. Although he might be a close second or third, my favorite behind maybe Norwood's up there. I think Norwood is up there for everyone. I really like him, but I think my favorite honestly is Jeb Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, the MIS teacher.
I was going to say the same thing.
I stole it from you. I was hoping I'd get to it first. I thought you were about to say it.
Jeb is
I didn't have him.
Really? Okay. No. Yeah,
Best MIS professor ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he teaches this class called MIS, which is Management Information Systems. It's basically like a techie coding class where it's just basically the intro to like learning how to code or use Excel or just a bunch of different other like digital needs. So
doesn't it help like protect, I guess, so like security software? Yeah, it's like cybersecurity. Yeah.
So,
in a way,
so
right?
A lot of it, yeah. He's really cool because he's one of the only professors that you're gonna find that has as cool of an actual job as he had. So when he still has
the job,
but he told us about how his job is that companies will hire him to hack their software to find like breaking points in their weak spots.
Okay.
So that he could tell them how to strengthen it and get it better so that there's not an actual breach within their technology. And he's really cool on how he teaches. He's very, very thorough. He sets you up to learn the material and prepare for tests and feel like you actually get something out of the class. But he's just really cool to be able to learn from someone who literally hacks software for a living is pretty, pretty
That's
cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And he wears all these cool suits. Like, yes. He has a Christmas suit, like a Thanksgiving suit, I think.
Oh, everything.
Yeah. They're so funny.
Like, yeah.
I think him and Norwood are like, there together, like he's very funny in his class and likes to make it engaging no matter what. But I mean, I still have to go with Norwood being like the top one, you know,
right?
But anyhow, my favorite, actually this is kind of interesting, but Bude. I
actually really like her, which
she's our social media professor right now, which is why we're actually doing this podcast. And shout out to her. We enjoy her, but I actually really enjoy her as a professor. I feel like I'm learning a lot, and I like social media marketing, and I'm learning a lot in her class right now. So it's helping me in my job currently. So I think she's my top professor right now that I've had, and I'm a senior. So I mean,
yeah, that's saying something for sure.
That's saying something. Like she passed by like 20 others. So
well, what she does really good, and that like I've actually really noticed, like I really like Bude. Like Bude's like up there for me too.
Mm-hmm.
This is my second class with her, and she does these like semester projects, like where you have like a group for the whole semester. It's like this is our group, and we're having a really good time doing this too, and like it's really engaging, and it actually helps us learn the material. So like last semester I took consumer behavior with her, and she like made us market this whole product for like the whole semester, like seeing how different consumers like behaved around like what our product was about.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we literally did a project over like a Travis Scott, like a new upcoming Travis Scott shoe. We had to like, you know, market it to like our audience.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
kinda cool.
It was really cool. Just like semester projects, like
very real life
and
application.
Also, like I don't know about them, but like I knew none of them before getting into our group.
So
it really helped me get to know more people. I mean, I would hope we're all friends now.
Right.
But
for the most part.
Oh. Matthew and me might have beef.
I'm joking.
We might have beef.
No beef.
Totally joking.
But like, I mean, those are all kind of, these like Jeb, Sheriff, and like, well, Bude and Grunstead I know are pretty upper division level classes. So like, you'll probably take them like sophomore, junior, senior year.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like 40 person classes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Smaller.
Smaller. Yeah. But like Brent Norwood has like 500 kids and,
yeah.
And Jeb has
like
200. Yeah, 200 kids. And but like they're really engaging, which is really what you want in a professor.
Yeah.
In like a way.
They definitely meet your needs where you're at for the class.
Right.
As far as being personable in each setting, which is definitely different and difficult to figure out. So it's cool that they're able to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And these are just professors, like, within the business college that we know of, because we're all business majors.
Yeah.
But, like, there are plenty others out there in other colleges that are just as amazing.
Right.
So don't think that they're all just going to, not trash you, I guess, but they're all going to give you something good in your class.
Yeah, they're all going to be something valuable that you're going to need. Like, anything you learn in college, sometimes you think it's going to be, like, worth nothing, like, you don't need it. Some of that is, though, like, sometimes you do learn something you don't want. I'm never going to use this. But sometimes it's actually, like, really helpful, especially in the business world, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well,
moving on to our next question. Very similar, but who is your favorite non-business professor at OU?
Okay.
So, probably most likely for all of us, it's going to be our gen ed class teachers.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, for me, coming in freshman year, I was originally pre-med, which is interesting. I'm now in business, but I'll explain to you how I switched and all that. But I was like health and exercise science. Like I was like, I wanted to go to med school and like be a doctor. But I didn't want to do med school anymore after like I took OChem, and I'll get to that. That was definitely the hardest class, but anyways, we'll get to that in a bit. But my favorite non-business professor, would probably have to be, I'm trying to think. It's like, it was my chemistry 2 teacher. And, her name was Laura Clifford. She was really engaging, I guess. We had like 200 something kids in that class. And she was just really like, she was really nice and like willing to help everyone, like understand the material. But like, that's like, it really helped me understand the material well. I think, I don't know what grade I got. But I was in chem for a little bit, which is kind of crazy now because I'm in marketing now. But Orion, what about you?
My personal favorite was my freshman year Comp 2 professor. His name was Jason Oppheim. I don't know if any of you guys had him, but he was actually the first like professor I ever had because he's my first class of freshman year. But I really liked his class because it's not like your typical English class. Like, basically, at the beginning of the year, you choose, like, a topic of a, like, political or legal issue. And then throughout that whole semester, you start working on researching that that issue. And then you talk about it in an essay at the end of the year, as well as a speech that you give. And I liked it because it really gave you, like, an introduction to what a college class is like. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to work with other people. You're going to have to talk in front of a bunch of people, which really helps you get out of your comfort zone. And it's really something important to your growth, not only within school, but also just within whatever job you're pursuing, whether it's business, whether it's medical stuff, anything like that.
For sure. Nice. What about you, Matthew?
really trying to dig deep into the memory banks here back into my gen ed classes.
Freshman
year. I think this was my second semester freshman year. I took a class. It was Dr. Casey. I don't remember his first name, but Professor Dr. Casey, he taught in history, but it was like the Civil War to present day history. So here at OU, you can take from like the Civil War to present day history, or like pre-Civil War, kind of more ancient history. So I took his more modern history class, and he was very personal. It was a little bit smaller class. It was probably like a 40 or 50 person class. And I kind of like history. So, I mean, I enjoyed his class. He was very personable, kind of very apologetic in the way that he would speak, and kind of very kind hearted. And he was easy to talk to. And he was kind of a teacher that you wouldn't be afraid to go talk to. There's a lot of teachers, especially in college with these big classes, that can feel like they're big, angry,
right,
beasts up there that you really can't go talk to sometimes. So he was really nice. But I feel like most of my favorite teachers are from the business school, if I'm gonna be honest. I think it'd be hit or miss with the gen ed stuff in the beginning.
Right.
But as you get into those upper level classes, you start to see a lot of really cool professors.
For sure. Yeah. What about you, Addy?
So mine was my Comp 1 professor. Long story short, like, I came into college with a bunch of credits, but I took Comp 1 at OTRIP, and I don't even remember her name, but she was just god-awful.
Oh.
God-awful. I had never written a college paper before, and where I went to high school, I didn't really have much prep, to be honest. So I didn't know anything about self-plagiarism. I didn't know that was a thing.
Self-plagiarism?
It's when you, like, basically something else you've written and for like a different paper for something, and you put it in a paper that you're writing currently or whatever. So I was writing about my little sister who has Down syndrome, and I was writing about just like Down syndrome and what it's about and how they should be included and accepted and why it was so important to me, because I think it was like a reflection of what's important to me in that semester. And I failed the class because I plagiarized, but I didn't know that was a thing. And so I emailed her, told her, and she did not accept my apology. So I actually came into OU having to start fresh with that. And so I got stuck with the most amazing Comp 1 professor, and his name was David Kelly. Loved him. I told him what I went through for my first Comp 1 class, and he sympathized with me. He's like, I am so sorry. And I was like, I promise you, I can be a really good writer. I just didn't know that was a thing. And I, from there, like, I made sure on every paper that I cited everything right. I went into office hours. I would constantly email him, like, is this right? I don't want to get points taken off for it. And, like, if you email your professors questions, they will answer them. Like, if they're really, like, important and apply to the material. And he was so helpful with that, and he gave me so many corrections. And there was some family stuff, too, that was going on, and I was informing him of what was happening. And, I mean, he was accommodating for me at the time. And I feel like that helped me get through college, knowing that, like, there are professors there that are going to help you no matter what. Because I, after that class, I thought, I'm not going to do good in college at all. Like, this is not for me. And I went through a whole thing, and my mom and my dad were stressed for me because they knew how badly I wanted this, and I didn't get it. So that's my story. But,
nice.
I don't know if he's teaching anymore, because I do know that he was kind of on the older side. So I don't know if he is, but if he is still teaching, you should take him for Comp 1. He is a really good professor. I had another – my Comp 2 professor is really good, too. I can't remember her name off the top of my head right now, though. But they have amazing professors here at the University of Oklahoma.
So, nice. Make sure to cite your sources.
Please cite your sources.
They are really big on that.
If you're citing
– Oh, my goodness,
If you're citing your – like, a personal reflection, like – something you've written before, just go ask them how to do that, because
it's better safe than sorry.
Safe than sorry. And the Writing Center at OU does help. I don't know if any of y'all have used it.
I've been,
I've used it once, and they're really good. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to just go and have them read your paper and get advice on it. So,
well, not everything is sunshine and rainbows here in college. You know, there's some difficult stuff that you go through when you're in classes. What was the class that gave you the most challenge here at OU? We'll start with you, Matthew.
Well, I'll say the class that's given me the most challenge is the only class I've ever failed in my life. And that was
no way.
And that was managerial accounting.
Oh,
who was your professor?
Wait, don't say.
Well, she was good.
Okay.
Tammy Callis. She was good. It wasn't her fault. It was just fault and a bit of a circumstance. Manager of accounting was the second foundational accounting class you had to take for like your prerequisite classes for the business school price. And I took her in financial, and financial was good. Mm-hmm. And then I took it in managerial, and just didn't get it. I would recommend when you come to college, hopefully when you come to OU, be careful with your night classes. Night classes can be great.
Yes.
But be smart about how they are, because night classes are really easy to treat them like they're just a normal like 3-day a week class, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, where you can do a little bit the night before and then nothing rest of the week or before each class. Well, unfortunately, I got in that habit and ended up leading to me procrastinating a lot and struggling a lot of the assignments and not giving myself much of a cushion for the tests.
Which
the tests are hard and they're worth a lot, especially in a 3-hour class when you're having to sit there and do like 30 questions of I mean, fairly intense math problems, or at least what it felt like. So that was the hardest class for me. Only class I ever failed at, only class I've ever gotten worse than a B. And teacher was good. Cammie, if you could take her. She's very successful. She's got like a law firm and some other businesses.
Oh, yeah.
She knows what she's doing. Yeah. But just be smarter about how you handle it. It was not her fault. Cammie, if you're watching this, or if anyone else sends this to you, I'm sorry. I'll probably see you again in the future here when I have to retake the class.
Oh, so,
hopefully it's better that time.
That's okay. I'll go. I talked about it a little earlier, but the one I hated the most was like, I mean, okay, I said OChem, organic chemistry. I actually kind of liked the material, but I did not really have a good teacher at all. I'm not going to mention any names, but they mainly like taught out of the textbook, and it wasn't even organic for organic chemistry, if you know what I mean. Like, it's a play on words, but yeah, you know what I mean. But like it wasn't that good. There was, the only assignments were three exams for the whole year. And like me, I'm trying to get to med school, I'm trying to like get good grades. Like, I at least appreciate like quizzes too, or like some other things to fall back on,
just to test your knowledge.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So like, and the practice material was nothing like the exam. And so I just did not like the class. And so I ended up dropping the class, and that's like the only class I've dropped. And then I dropped out of the pre-med program. But now we're here in marketing, and it's
right where
the
you're
best
supposed
thing
to be.
Ever. Yeah, right where we're supposed to be. You know, it's awesome. Yeah. Can't complain.
Well, currently, I mean, my hardest class definitely was accounting. I was an engineering major when I first came to college. My dad is was an engineering major, and he has an engineering degree. And I don't know if y'all have anyone in your family that have an engineering
degree. My granddad does.
Okay, so maybe you can vouch for me on this.
Yeah.
My uncle's also an engineering major, too.
Okay.
They're both so analytical, and I love them for it. I love my dad. But I remember sitting down telling my mom, I don't know if I can be as analytical as my father. And she was like, yeah. And then she also told me, she was like, you're also more social than him. And I was like, you're right. And so then we both like just had a realization, like, maybe this was not the degree for me. And so then I switched, and my favorite professor, she was my engineering professor for like intro to engineering. And that class was so fun. Like, we did so many projects because I was wanting to do architectural engineering. And we built bridges. We built like skyscrapers, like out of like popsicle sticks. It was so much fun. And I enjoyed it. I cannot remember her name for the life of me, but shout out to whoever you are. You probably remember me because the class was like 30 people. But her class was hard just because it was more project based. So like having to build this stuff, we didn't always have time to build it in class.
Right.
So, and you were graded on if it succeeded or failed. So like that was hard for me because like as a group we wanted to succeed. We wanted to make sure our like structure would stand and everything. But that one was just mainly hard because it was more people that looked at it as an analytical approach, and I'm not that person.
I'm more
of the creative person. I mean,
that's
I can tell I'm the content creator.
Yeah.
But definitely more creative. I run social media for a living for my mom's business. So, like, I feel like I found my place and my calling. And engineering was not the calling for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be for my brother.
Right.
Yeah. But you were able to go through the process.
Exactly.
Figure it out. I mean.
Yeah. And, I mean, that class did set me up for success, I guess. I mean.
There you go.
I mean, I'm doing we do group projects all the time, so I mean, group wise it helped me communicate with others,
right? It helps
even
so
for
much.
People that don't communicate that well, so like it helped me better just to read people, I think. But it
right.
was definitely more of my hardest class just for the group aspect of it,
for sure.
For mine, I would say it is the principles of management class that everyone has to take.
Yeah.
3013. I had Ron Anderson for that, and I don't really have any problems with him. I thought he was a really nice guy and all that. He was a pretty entertaining lecturer. I just didn't really like the structure of the class. It's kind of similar to what London was talking about. It's pretty much just exams and pop quizzes that he gives out.
Yeah.
And they're really, really hard. That's the thing about this class. They're so hard. And he tells you about it. He's like, oh, like, your grades are going to be really low. Like, just as long as you're, like, average, you're fine. And, like, the average will be, like, a 60, which I just really don't like because it freaks me out when I look at Canvas and I'm getting, like, 50s and 60s on my exams and quizzes. Exactly. And you really don't know what your grade is for most of the class. He has this little spreadsheet he sends out, like, twice a year. And that tells you what the true grade you have is.
That's tough.
I don't know. I just wasn't the biggest fan of structure, but like, that's something you learn in college. Some people like having connect assignments every week just so you have the points. Some people like only having to take quizzes and exams. That's something you learn very quickly into college, which kind of structure you like better.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. It definitely like helps you like kind of formulate a way to take tests and like your testing strategy and like no matter what. Cause like, I mean, college, you're going to have a lot of exams and projects and stuff like that. And so just like being able to be prepared for all those, like it helps. So like your gen ed should help you prepared, but I mean, it's not terrible, you know?
I currently have him as a professor and I do like him as like a person or anything. He's really nice, but class wise, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. I show up to class every day. I take my notes, but like, we just had our first exam and it was not a pretty score.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm kind of like, well, am I going to do good in this class? So I do like to think that my studying will help me out.
For sure. We'll yeah. So. All right. Well, I think we're running out of time, but I think it's now time to welcome our guest speaker on the show. We're going to get to that in a sec.
Who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be?
We have no idea.
Put your comments down below who you think it is.
Yeah, comment down below. Yeah.
We definitely didn't tell you earlier.
Okay. Now. All right, we have a special guest speaker on the podcast today. He's considered the best teacher at the University of Oklahoma. Welcome, Brent Norwood. How are you doing today?
How are you? Thank you. And ladies, I'm doing well. Just finished teaching and got to go do some emails, but yeah, I'm doing good.
Let's go. All right, well, tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you got to OU and what you teach here and why you got into teaching in the first place.
All right, so I did my undergrad at A&M in economics, and I actually worked for KPMG right afterwards. One of the big four accounting firms in their financial risk management. Ended up hating it, only because I grew up out in the country, so sitting at a desk all day just wasn't for me. Got into teaching because I was like, this seems cool. And in Texas, you have to take economics your senior year and government. And so I was like, I could teach this. And so I jumped right in and ended up loving it. But teaching high school, it's quick burnout rate.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest burnout rates amongst professions like nursing.
Okay.
So most teachers are in and out within 3 to 4 years. I lasted 5.
Wow.
So
I love the average.
I know. But what brought me here was because I was like, I can't do this anymore, but I do want to keep teaching. I love what I do and
the
acting
atmosphere.
Goofy. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to go back and get my PhD. And so I applied to a few universities and OU had the best offer.
Nice.
So I came up here, got my PhD, and then just never left. So
let's go. That's awesome.
We're really happy that you're here. So what is your favorite part about being at AU now that you're like a professor here?
I think it is still the college environment. It's the campus energy. It's like day one and I have 560 people flooded into Dale Hall and they're all nervous and I get to like welcome them.
Cheer all those people.
Yes. You know, and it's a energy around game day. It's you know, just this constant turn of I feel like, you know, positive energy that it's like everything, something's always happening. There's some sort of event. Yeah. And so I kind of like just getting up there and talking and inspiring and mentoring and teaching. Or one of my, you know, few superpowers besides, you know, being a goofy runner and love of economics, which most people go, whoa, is I like to like take really nerdy things into everyday language. Mm. And that's how I feel like we can be successful.
So would you agree that OU is definitely like more of a family community
than
other universities?
Yep. I would rank OU as a family community higher than Oklahoma State and UT. Those are the two that pop out.
Okay.
Like A&M is a family community. Right. People, mm-hmm. Most people don't think because it's so large, but it really is.
Yeah.
OU's got the very same feel. Very dedicated, loyal. When I taught, I did teach 1 year at Oklahoma State. So as a Aggie, as an Aggie and a Sooner, my first job was at Oklahoma State, and it was COVID with orange masks. It was the weirdest thing ever. I couldn't do it. Like, I lasted one semester.
Yep. Oh.
Just one semester. And then the job came open here, and I was like, please.
Perfect.
Perfect. Your job's the orange to the red.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So, but I was on that campus, and it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the family environment. Yeah. It didn't have, like, I love the South Oval when there's always something going on. You know?
Yeah.
So, one day I will put a lemonade stand up there. Like,
really?
You'll have the longest lemonade stand line.
You I know. Give you, I will awesome. Give you my dollar.
There we go.
Well, wait, real quick, like, how does, like, OU's business college or, like, school in general just, like, compare to Texas A&M? I know it's a lot smaller, but, like, what do you think? Like, how did it compare to you?
So, I mean, there's pros and cons. Mm-hmm. To being smaller, to being larger. I would definitely say that the pro to Price being a lot smaller than A&M's, Mays Business School, is that you're gonna get a lot more one-on-one action with your professors, the different programs within Price, so Wall Street Sooners, JCP Leadership, all those, you're gonna have a lot more where you're gonna get like raw soft skills or more one-on-one time.
Yeah.
And so that's a big, big advantage. And they do have big corporate sponsors. I mean, Simple Modern started here at OU, and he started off at the Innovation Lab. And that's where he did the first test run. So that's it's really cool to see, like, Ryan Boyles, you know, support Porch, former football. And now he's opening up Blackbird. So he comes back and speaks to a lot of your classes. So you're going to get a lot more, like, one-on-one action or direct connection to high-up people. And then, like, a bigger one, you're going to have more opportunities. There's probably bigger corporate sponsors, or that's probably where they're shopping, you know.
Right.
You're, like, looking at a big four accounting firm. They're definitely targeting A&M and UT, and then it's OU.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, I did it over. I would definitely choose a smaller, more niche where you got to know people, got to know your professors, versus, like, you were one face of X amount.
Interesting. Nice.
So what advice do you have for any incoming students or current freshmen?
Oh, lots.
Let's go.
Let me get on myself.
Yes, lay it on us.
Yeah. No, well, and as you all know, your first year, 2 years, you're probably in larger gen ed classes. Yeah. And my advice is always come sit up front. It's like church, always room up front, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, sit up front, engage with your gen ed teachers, like make sure you are like, putting a name with a face, because those are the professors that you're going to reach out to for a letter of rec for Wall Street Sooners or these other clubs or blah, 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 study abroad. And like, I get lots of requests for letters of rec and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Or they're like, I took your class last semester. And I'm like, cool. So did 1300 other people.
Yeah.
So like really from day one, try to get in there front row. There's a huge correlation between your grade and where you sit in class.
Mm.
You know, generally the people in the front are paying attention. You're paying attention. Right. If you're sitting in the back, you may be paying attention, but y'all may be watching soccer and you may be watching like something on YouTube shorts or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they got that distraction
going.
Mm-hmm. That's my biggest advice.
Front row. Okay.
All
right. Nice.
Yeah. That's what, I play on the golf team. That's what our coach always told us to do, but did we ever do it? No, so my parents probably said.
Yeah, I will say I was a victim in his class of sitting in the back, but I would always engage and write my notes down, and then if I had questions, I would always come after class or
office hours. That is the biggest thing, especially your first 2 years when you're in larger classes. Go to the office hours. It's exam week. Go to the office hours. Ask them, because when I'm in my office and someone's all like, "We have an exam coming up, and I've been studying hard," and they may be studying something, I'm like, "Don't worry about that." I worry about this over here.
Right.
You know, you get like personalized one-on-one time.
Yeah.
So it's just being like, I always tell them, be proactive, not reactive.
That's good.
You know, don't come after the exam and say, what I do wrong. Come before the exam and say, what can I do to do well?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what always done with yours. And I always loved the advice you would always give me. Like, we would walk through with what I needed to go through. And I was always a nervous test taker. And I hate taking tests, and I would always freak out about it.
Yep.
And then if I had multiple tests a week, I just would get overwhelmed. But I always felt at ease for your classes because I felt prepared, and I felt that if I attended and asked the questions and came to you for help, I was fine.
And that's what we should be doing, all professors. I know all professors are like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, and like I've had some students that don't take tests well, mm-hmm. or don't like in a 580 person class, they have massive test anxiety. And I'm like, if you just tell me or tell your other professor, this is it. Like, I know multiple professors that are like, cool, come to my office and take it just here. Mm-hmm. Or go to the testing center. Any student can take their test at the testing center, where it's in, you know, smaller environment.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, I can do that? I'm like, yes. And you can see the difference in the test.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in genetic classes, where exams are the majority of your
grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, coming to college, like, that's literally my first ever 500-person class. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's so big.
I graduated with, like, 108 people.
Yeah.
So when I was at A&M and accounting managerial, I was all like, there's 600 something.
Yeah.
And how do I get my laptop and my notepad on this little
so tiny.
Yeah.
It's not fun. So, but it is a learning experience. So
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's awesome.
It's an adjustment to make from high school to college.
Yeah.
They definitely throw that all at you. But one thing I do appreciate about you as a teacher is you always felt so personable.
Yes.
And when you talk about like how you wish every professor can be like that, and that's one thing I appreciate about you.
Yeah.
Is that I always felt like no matter where I was in the class, like, I could always go talk to you, or I feel like if I'm coming to class and I'm engaging, I know I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah.
And
that means a lot.
And I can go to you for some stuff. Unlike some other teachers where maybe they only want you to go to their TAs or all this other stuff. And they're rude about certain stuff whenever you're not actually going
through there. Yeah. And I've had that since like I've started teaching. Like my mom, I'm a first generation college student.
Oh, nice.
Which my parents were happy. And at the same time, I feel like I screwed the rest of everybody because I went from like first one to PhD. So like everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom did go back to junior college, and then she got an alternative teaching certificate.
Okay.
So she did a little bit. And later in life, when I was middle school, so I saw her teach.
Yeah.
And she had the kind of style of like I'm here and you're here. And that's kind of like what I like to take. Like, you're a student and I'm a professor, but I'm not here and you're here. This is not a
that's
hierarchy. It's just
at.
Like, we're on one-on-one. Like, if I can engage with you and treat you like a human, you're more likely to come to class, which means you're more likely to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know other people, I have this
indulgence.
So you mentioned being like a first generation.
Traditional college student. Yeah.
So for, I guess, the first generation people coming to OU, like, what advice would you give to them? Because they're probably in the, they don't know anything from their parents.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely tell them to, like, talk to your advisors, talk to your professors. Your professors are going to know the internships. Like, if you're really trying to get out there, make a connection with two or three for letters of rec. Get to know them. Keep in contact. I still have students that are like, hey, Norwood, like, I had you 2 years ago, but we go out to lunch once a semester and we just catch up.
Yeah.
And so, and then I'm telling them, like, hey, this person's hiring. Or, hey, I just met with, you know, we were in talking with the Deloitte people and they are looking for, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I would say just like really be active in like asking your professors, engaging with your professors, and then having fun on campus. Mm-hmm. Be part of a group. You know, I know you got golf. That takes up a lot of time. But, you know, there's so many different groups you can be involved in. Mm-hmm. Meet people mm-hmm. and try international festivals. Yeah. Those are always fun.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, interesting. Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Kind of lead into all this stuff when we're talking about how much we appreciate you. Yeah. See how you respond to this question.
Oh, yes.
Why do you think you are considered the best professor at OU?
So, yes. Well, you all have
the rate my professor yeah. score is really high.
Yeah. Yes, you've all had me, so I'll
yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a perfect five out of five.
So.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. I've never looked at it. I've been told it's a 5 out of 5, and I'm like, I will keep crushing it. All right.
Did you know that you were rated number one Barstool?
Yes.
Yes.
No way.
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. That was a cool one. That was definitely. See, things like that that I take, like, that means more to me than the outstanding teaching award that I won yeah. or something like that.
Just knowing from outsource, like, other yes. sources that.
Random people know you. Yeah. She's like, who's your favorite professor? And there's like, Darwin. I'm like, yes.
That's funny.
Because I put a lot of effort into it. A lot yeah. of try to make it fun and enjoyable. Like, it can be really dull, mm-hmm. but I try to make it, you know, personable right. because when it's something you can connect to, you'll remember it way better.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, reverting back to your question, which was,
well, why do you think you, or why are you considered the best professor? Yeah, yeah.
Because of all that, like yeah. I jump around, I act goofy, I yeah. love to jump off stage and run down the Dale Hall, and then like I see the fear in people's eyes, and I like to yeah. pass one, and I'll come back with like you. And people are like, no, but I do that because it pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Right.
When you're in an interview for an internship or a job, you need to be able to react under yeah. pressure. So I do that. And I always say, whatever you say is right. It's okay. Because some people are good at it. Some people like clam up.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I think it's that, like, I'm not here. I'm on level with you. And you can approach me. And, you know. I think the cursing helps sometimes. If I'm bluntly honest.
Right.
It wakes people up. They're like, did he just say that? And I'm like, yes, it is.
It definitely is when it's one of the first things you hear when you meet you. Yeah. When you come up and introduce yourself. Class. It's like, you're like, well, this yeah. is not. This is exactly the opposite of what my teachers in high school told me.
That yeah, that's exactly. what yes. be like. You see, that's why I had to leave high school because I yeah. couldn't censor myself there.
Yeah. yeah.
There's right. a lot more legal things. Here, I'm yeah, all like, you're adults.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Which nice. I'm trying to not curse for the podcast.
No, that's
totally fine.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's just that it's yeah.
You're giving it more like a family basis, which is what we went back to like earlier, yeah. talking about OU being a community and like a family. Yeah. So I really like enjoy that. That's why I came to OU. But
yeah, like also like I was born like I was raised here,
yeah.
and so like having such a cool campus, so like have cool teachers that jump around and. Do fun things like it makes like college like a lot more enjoyable because yeah. it's honestly a different world because growing up here you're just kind of like oh we have a college
yep
but it's just like a different world and like the school it's sometimes school can be tedious and
yeah
a little boring but like having people like you make it a lot more enjoyable and so that's always awesome.
I enjoy yeah. coming to class
when yes
I yeah classroom. Oh man
I, know, that, I hated missing
that, I know that is honestly one of the coolest things people have said or they've written me a card or said they're like I came into business statistics like, wow, this is going to suck. And yeah. I left going, like, that was the only class I went to.
Into, yeah.
I was like, well, if that's what gets you here, then heck yeah, man.
Especially sure. all those gen ed classes. It's just so many. The amount of people you see the first day of school versus in the middle of the semester
yes.
is unreal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like I noticed in your classes that I would say there's more people, but, like, I would always still want to go just
yeah.
because, yeah. I mean, I feel like it was useful information and I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it way more than some of my other classes.
That's good. I think in my classes I cut out a lot of the stuff that I like are in the chapters mm-hmm. that I'm like you'll never use this. I have a PhD in economics and I've never used this. So why right. would you ever use this?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Only sure, yeah. the like applied stuff from my KPMG background. Like you'll need to know this. Mm. You need to know Excel.
Right.
You need to have yeah. data, basic data skills. Yeah. Everything else you can Google later on and for figure sure. it out again. But if you
yeah.
have like,
yeah.
that slight memory. Ah, remember him talking about that, and then you can, but you know how to
off, yeah.
do it in yeah, Excel
sure.
and you know on the fly.
Yeah.
Nice. That's all I care about.
Yeah,
for yeah. sure.
It's definitely very helpful.
Well, what is the funniest story you have from your teaching time at OU? Do you have any? It's clean, but
yes.
Hint at it very strongly.
Yeah, you can give them. So right.
Or just like describe it, you know.
Yeah, so I love. So I have a bunch of undergrad TAs, as y'all probably remember. Yes. They're unpaid, but you get 3 hours of upper level elective credit.
Oh, yeah.
And I always like cook, smoke some ribs for them or some brisket, take them out every once in a while. This is thank you. But I always tell them that this is going to be fun because you're going to see how the sausage is made. All of the dumb emails that we get asked.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I get like 30 or 40 emails a day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's why I always tell them email TA first because it's going to get lost in my inbox. I teach back to back to back to back.
500 people.
Yeah. And so it's always fun to hear their stories when we have like a TA happy hour and they're like, did you get this email? And it's like, you know, yo, bro, went hard on campus corner. Appreciate it if you let Nord know I'm not going to make the test tomorrow, but I'm going to make it up next week. And we're like, what? You would actually send that to
a professor?
Yeah. Like they send it to me and TA.
He may still have been going hard.
Yeah, no. I had that. I had it, but the next day they're like, I think I was a little intoxicated when I sent you that. And I was like, yes, I think so too. And what gives you the audacity to schedule your own retake?
Right.
Not even ask.
No, yeah.
But I think that's the fun part for the students to see. Like, I'm not just blowing smoke up at all. Like,
yeah.
I do get a lot of like, wow, really? But the more fun one is when I was a grad student here, single dad, and was found out like bartending, and we bartend some fraternities on their tailgates. It's easy, quick money.
Right.
It's easy money. It's also fun. Like I'm a very social person. So, so I still have my bartending license.
Nice.
And so I'm the faculty advisor for three of them. And so like, I still bartend some of their tailgates just for fun.
Yeah.
And so like, I always love it when it's parents weekend. So we had parents weekend a few weekends ago and I'm there at the house and they told all the parents like, our professor is going to be bartending. Da, 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 da.
They're like, what?
Yeah. And so this mom walks up and she taps me on the shoulder and she goes, when is the professor going to come bartend? Yeah. I was like, 1 minute. I turned around and I turned back and I was like, I'm Dr. Norwood. Like, no way. Yeah. But I'm in the cutoff t-shirt, like OU t-shirt. Yeah, yeah. And like my cowboy hat.
That's so
it's always so fun. We're like, mom, dad, look, this is my econ professor. And they're like, why are we sending you?
Right.
What are you like? And then they get to know me and it's all like, fun and all. But it's always so cool. Like the look on my face, like,
yeah.
And then 1 year I had a kid that his mom was like, is he doing well? And I was like, well, I didn't know he was in my class. I don't ever see him. And this was an upper level sports econ class. Not the big one. This was like a.
Oh boy.
He's in hot water.
And his mom looks at him and she goes, what? And I was like, oh no, ma'am. I'm just joking. He's one of my front row Joes. He's doing really well. She's like, I know. He's such a sweetheart. And she walks away and I was like, you owe me. You owe me. He was in class every day.
Yeah,
after
that.
He probably didn't get it chewed out by his mom.
Yeah.
I don't like getting chewed out by my mom.
That's funny.
So this is going to kind of like hint at a future episode of ours.
Yes.
But what is your favorite restaurant on campus?
Oh, on campus.
Yeah.
Or like in Norman.
Yeah,
but
Norman area.
Just in the area.
All right. So... yeah, I'm glad my wife's not here. So she's got some very hard opinions being her former position. But being from the Houston area, I really do miss good barbecue and good Mexican food.
Okay.
And I've not found either of those here in the Norman area. I know. Some people are like, but it's just different. I would have to say... favorite restaurant. It's a local restaurant. I'd have to go to Winston.
Okay.
Because I don't want to pick a chain.
Right.
The Winston I like a lot. I like their ahi salad, you know?
Yes.
And they got a good happy hour.
I like their carnita tacos.
Those are good, yeah.
I will order 6 of those. I'm guilty of that, but that's totally my fault.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Nice.
So.
Well, do you have any questions for us or, like, any final advice for, like, incoming freshmen or just college students in general, like, trying to finish out their college career at all?
Start strong and end strong. Take that freshman year serious. Have fun. I mean, everything's great in moderation. But you don't need to hit every fraternity party on a Wednesday, like eight Wednesdays in a row.
Right.
All right. Because it's really it's hard to build your GPA. It's really easy to tank it. Yeah, one bad semester sure. will pull yeah. it down real hard.
So for sure.
I would say, like, just be mindful that, you know, it's harder to go up than it is to go back down. Yeah. So if you start strong, you get a good base, and then end strong with connections, interviews, internships, and networking.
Yeah.
That's all college really is. Networking. Is how much you can network. And how much, who you know. But sadly, it's more about who you know in life than how good you are.
Right.
So for sure. That's going to help out a lot.
Okay, sweet. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Professor Norwood, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of our show. We encourage everyone listening to take a class with him at some point in their college career, whether you're an incoming freshman or someone in college right now. But yeah, all right, back to the Scooter Show. All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Brent Norwood, truly one of the best professors at OU. So, again, highly recommend taking him. But, yeah, that's going to be it for this week's episode. Next episode, we're going to dive into our favorite food places in Norman. So stay tuned for that. Give us a like on the podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yep. Also, follow us at Scooter Show. What? Oh my gosh. Sorry about that. Please follow us at Schooner_show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.